You're listening to 3Fuel Podcast, a podcast about the most advanced sports nutrition and sports recovery product on the planet. I'm your host, Aaron Olson. For more information, go to 3Fuel.com. I'm here today with Chris Stouty Stoutenberg. Chris is a CrossFit box owner, a Paralympic Games gold medalist, and coaches boys basketball. He's a big believer in self-confidence and determination. He lives by the motto, no excuses. Chris, it's great to talk to you today.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, it's great to be on the show. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, Chris, I'm excited to talk with you. Give our listeners a little bit of a background about you as an athlete. How did you get interested in sports?
Well, as a kid, my dad was a big athlete. My family, my mom's a basketball coach. My father is a hockey player, played through university and into some of the later pieces in Canadian hockey. And so I was, as a kid, I think I was on skates at three and on a pair of skis, probably the same age. And just sports were kind of like, that's just part of our lifestyle, right? So for me, it came naturally. It was just kind of, that's part of how we lived. And I really liked almost everything I ever tried. I played through my high school career, I played high school and pub school, and I played everything. Like I skateboarded, I snowboarded, I basketball, football, hockey, took a trip through the track and field team, played a bit on the golf team. Like just if there's some competition aspect to it, I'm all about it.
Chris, that's pretty incredible. You've had this great background in sports. So tell me, how did you get to the place where you're at now? You had a pretty serious accident. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what happened?
Sure. So I was 19, and I was actually just getting ready for I was going to play football at University of Guelph. So we were just getting ready for summer camp, and I was out at a friend's and up on the second floor balcony, and it's one of those things that probably wouldn't happen if you did it 99 times before that. I happened to be the person. I leaned against the railing, and the railing had been rotting away, I guess, and it snapped. And before I could catch myself, I was upside down, and then I was on the ground. And the way I'd landed on my back with my arm tucked behind me, and where my arm crossed my spine, I broke T6, T7, T8. And, so I after a bunch of, flew me, I'm central Ontario, but like northern, we're more in the cottage country area. So they flew me into Toronto. I had surgery. When I all woke up a couple days later, it was, the surgeon standing over top of me saying, you've had an accident and you've broken your back in these places and you're not going to walk. And, that's a lot to take in right away. But I kind of made a quick decision fairly quick, probably within like 2 or 3 days after that I just was like, okay, well, if this is the deal, then let's figure out how to do stuff this way. You know what I mean? You kind of get there's a point in time, and people talk about it all the time. There's a point you get a decision kind of put in front of you, and it's there's not a lot of gray area. You can't be like, well, I kind of might try, or maybe I won't. Either you give up or you go. And I decided to go. And from there, into rehab, I forced my way into rehab. They said, oh, it's going to be like 6 months before you get out of the hospital to get into rehab. And I just kept pushing every day. I actually have a point where I was sitting on the edge of the hospital bed where they weren't going to let me have a wheelchair yet. And I said to the nurse, I'm going to either jump off the bed and then you can deal with whatever happens after that, or you can just get me a wheelchair. It's just, she got me one. And then the doctors were like, we got to get rid of him. We can't keep him here. Let's just force him in, find a spot for him. And when I got to rehab, they're like, okay, well, it's a half a year progress. And this was in June. I said, listen, I have my first year of university starting in September, so I'm gonna be out of here at the beginning of September. And they're like, no, that's not possible. You won't be able to do that. And let it behold, about a month and a half later, they're like, there's nothing else we can do with you. We might as well let you back into society. And from there, I just, it was a quick transition. I learned a couple different sports. I really picked up on, I played basketball all my life. I played high school. I played on the rep team that traveled, that played at the provincial level. And so that kind of was, I was a football player by heart, but the basketball was the was something that was an option at that point in time. And I started playing there. And within 9 months playing on a club team in Burlington, Ontario, I was asked to play for the Canadian junior team. The Ontario junior team and at the Canada Games. And I played there. And from that exact tournament, the coach of the Canadian team said, you should come out to the men's provincials. And from there, they said, you should come and try out for the Canadian team. And from there, he said, you should come down to University of Illinois and play for me, because the coach of the Canadian team at that point in time was the coach of Illinois. And he said, you should come and play for me down here. So within under a year and a half, I broke my back. I went to school. I left the University of Guelph. That's where I'd gone to school. Transferred to University of Illinois. Made the Canadian team, and it's been a fun ride ever since.
Wow, Chris, that's just an incredible story. I mean, the determination that you have you always had that, or was it getting injured that, you know, brought something out in you?
I'm pretty stubborn in general. So some people say it's determination. I think more along the lines of, and I kind of do too, like, it's yes, I'm determined, but I'm also very stubborn, so I'm not easy to tell me that I, if you tell me I can't do something, you're more likely just egging me on to go and do it, right? So people, you know, oh, you're not, that's not going to happen, that's too soon, there's no way, people don't come out of rehab that fast. I was like, well, that, now I have to prove you wrong, right? Like, so I you only get an hour, I don't know if you're familiar, but like in a rehabilitation center, you get an hour with an actual physiotherapist, and then you get an hour with an occupational therapist, and then the rest of the day, you don't have anything, you just have nurses that are in the facility. So I would figure out who's been here longer than me, and I would just sit 15 feet away from their session, watch what they're doing, mimic it on my own. And so when I come back to my session the next day, she'd be like, oh, we're going to cover this. I'd be like, yeah, I can do that. Yep, I can already do that. Yeah. And we'd go through, and she'd like, okay, well, we're, you know, in one session, we'd go through 5 days. So it's just, that's how, you know, that was how I got out. And it's just kind of the way I operate, I guess.
Yeah.
I like to get things done.
So what was that like transitioning to a very high level of basketball? Had you been interested in basketball beforehand? Or you said you were mostly football?
I was mostly football, but I played basketball. Like, I played at the highest level I could play at that age, right? I played, which is, you know, in Canada, they have provincial organizations. So in Ontario, it's the OBA, the Ontario Basketball Association. And each region takes a team of that's what I coach now. You take a team of athletes that are in your region, and then you compete as a rep team for your region. So I played that, which is the Collingwood Trailblazers. I played for them, and now I actually coach. I started coaching the under 13, and I've moved with that team, the under 13, and then we played under 16, and we're playing under 16 again this year. And that's so from that development league that I started in, and I'm now coaching. Basketball is a great sport. It's I'm a big team. I'm not a big individual. I'll do some individual sports. I have done them in the past, but I'm big into the team atmosphere.
Okay. And you're also a CrossFit box owner. Tell me about CrossFit and how you got into that.
When I retired, sorry, I'm just going to let my dogs in. They're driving me nuts barking at the door. Okay. When I retired from basketball, like I took a break there, and, you know, I've been doing the everyday Sport Canada training, you know, it's all I'd ever been used to, bench press, bicep curl. But for a wheelchair athlete, there's no real, like, you know, you'd have back day and leg day. You don't really have that. So when I got a chance to really kind of broaden my horizons and see what was out there, I was introduced to Scott Thornton and Tyson Hornby. Scott Thornton, who played in the NHL for 17 years, opened a box here in Collingwood, and so I went out and checked it out, and they weren't really sure. None of us were really sure how it was going to be, how we were going to adapt and whatever. But I said, you know, we'll figure it out as we go. But I'll try it. If I can't do it, we'll try a different way. And from there, you know, that was over 3 years ago. And I was addicted, like, right away, like most people who stick with CrossFit are. I was in, I was all in, and I was actually probably overly all in because I was like trying to be in the box 6 to 7 days a week, right? Not even trying to be like, okay, well, my rest day is I'm just going to go in and see what's going on. And I got addicted to the lifestyle and just the people and the community. So when Scott with CrossFit Industry, when he had gotten to a point, his son's gone to university, he'd been doing this, he opened the box 7 years ago. He was he started in his garage. Anyways, long story short, he said, you know, I'm thinking of getting out. Are you interested in coming in? And I was all over it. I said, yeah. So we actually just have recently made that transition, and it's very, very exciting. I love all our members, and we have a great community. And I split the ownership with Tyson Hornby, who actually is a football player, funny enough, that he played University of Guelph, and then he actually played a little bit of his time in Australia. And that's where he learned CrossFit and brought it and came back here and met Scott. So it's exciting. I couldn't ask for anything better. It's not often you get to do what you want to do every day, and I get to do that, and I've got to do that for a long time now. I got to, you know, I played basketball as my main source of daily activity, and now I get to do CrossFit and teach people CrossFit.
Yeah, well, congrats on that, Chris. Now, tell me a little bit, how do you actually adapt the workouts for someone like yourself who's in a chair? How does that work?
So we learned basically trial and error, right? Like, we had a lot of different ideas, and we try to take – so, if, like, when I look, what is a squat, right? My major engine is not through my legs and through my – and it's not through my posterior chain. My major engine is through my shoulders and arms. So your squat is trying to drive the bigger engine, right? So – We think dips. Can you dip? Can someone do a dip? I can do dips. I can do ring dips. I started just on the floor and then putting them up off of boxes and then on the parallel bars and then move to the rings. But we use dips. If you can't do dips, we do sometimes some athletes will be able to do back extensions. So we use their core sitting in their chair, bringing their chest to their knees and back up. You know, it's just, we've come through a long time. This is 3 years of a process, and we have a large range of scales compared to disabilities. Because disability, a break at a T6 compared to a break at a T4 in your spine, there's a big range of motor function that's lost there. And you can't expect them to be able to do the same thing. Like, you familiar with Kevin Ogar?
No, I'm not. Tell me about him.
So Kevin Ogar, he's a CrossFit athlete. He was a CrossFit athlete. He was a regionals athlete, a team guy at CrossFit Unbroken, and he actually broke his back almost a year ago, and he broke it at T11. So he's now back, and he's been doing some stuff, and I've actually been feeding. We've been kind of feeding back and forth, exchanging ideas. There's another guy, Gustavo Marquez, who's he's in San Jose, and he trains with a few of the, like, Miranda Olroyd and stuff, some of the CrossFit big names out there. And so there's a big good flow of ideas, but for the longest time I felt like I was on my own. I'm searching online, I'm looking for other wheelchair athletes that are doing CrossFit, and I'm coming up with nothing. So we just started putting together kind of a bit of a handbook is what it is of what can you do at different levels, and where can you try to progress to the same as you would in CrossFit, right? If you come in, you try a pull up, you can't do them, you get it on a band. We do the kind of the same thing. You can wrap bands around someone's wheels. You can take them out of their chair and set them on a box and wrap the band underneath their butt so they sit on the band. You can lower the bar to take that away. We look at each individual situation and adapt from there. We have a great idea because we've been doing it for long enough that we have a good ballpark where to start, but until you get a good physical assessment of someone, you're not really sure what is going to be there. And guaranteed, if they start 2-3 months down the road, that will change. They'll be able to do more. 2-3 months down the road from there, they'll be able to do more. And yeah, it's the same for everybody, right? The same as if you were to get in or I was. There's going to be a starting point, and you're going to get better as you continue to practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, tell our listeners a little bit about what it is about CrossFit that keeps you coming back. What is it that you're so interested? You said you got hooked on it. And for people who haven't tried CrossFit yet, what is part of the allure of CrossFit?
I think it's a little bit of just what, like what I was saying, is the fact that everything, yes, there's an RX, right? Yes, there's this prescribed workout, but everything is relative to what you can do, but it's varied. So you get a ton of different activities. You're never really feeling bored. For me, it's exciting to know the new challenges, to be able to see, to be able to do some measures that actually stand out. And I can say, you know what, a month ago, I was, or 2 months ago, I was a minute slower and 10 pounds less on the bar than I was now. So obviously what I'm doing, like, you see the results. I'm really result driven, right? I like to know things are working and taking place, and CrossFit is a great way. It's a bit of a scientific method. And the other piece that for me is just everybody suffering together. You know what I mean? You get in the box and the workout, you look on the board or you saw it the night before online, depending on how your box puts it out, and you're kind of a little anxious and you might even be dreading it a bit, and you get into it and you look around and everybody's in the same state. And when you finish, everybody is excited. They might not be able to express it because they have no breath left, but it's a community. It's positive. A lot of egos get checked really quick, and people aren't trying to outdo each other. There's a bit of competitiveness, obviously, but it's good, healthy competitive. What I've experienced has been nothing but great. Like, and I've been around to other boxes to see how it's done. I was actually down in Houston. I got a friend down there that uses a wheelchair, and he's got CrossFit Redefined, and he's kind of doing the same thing I'm doing now. He owns a box there as well, and we're just trying to promote that it's all inclusive. They talk about how it's, you know, if you go on CrossFit.com, they talk all inclusive, and we're trying to really show them that, yes, it is. It is all inclusive. We, people with disabilities, people with other issues, can do this, and you can get outside, and you don't have to feel like everything's against you or everything's difficult. You can make your life easier. You know, there's obstacles everywhere, and if you're strong and confident, you can overcome a lot of other obstacles just by doing it.
And do you use CrossFit for your basketball team as well?
I sure do. Yeah, I got 3 years ago. I put them in there, and you know, I had some parents that were, oh, I've heard about CrossFit. I don't want them to get injured. Mm-hmm. And then they went from to give you a little background. The team that I took was basically in the. There's 13 divisions throughout Ontario, and they were in the bottom division, and they're the top of the bottom division, but not where they could have been. We did some strength and conditioning over that summer and that year coming in and through the year while we played, and we finished in the fifth division, number one. And then last year we moved into the fourth division and finished third. And this year we'll probably play in the top two divisions. And they're great basketball players, but the difference that I see in them is they're incredible athletes. They can run, they're quick, their agility, coordination is incredible. And because what they do in the box, maybe the best guy on the court isn't always the best guy in the box. So it kind of evens them out. They all have a place now to show their talents and come together as a team. And they're a great group of kids, and I couldn't ask for a better group of kids actually to coach. And I say it's coaching, but most of the, I find it's more along the lines, I'm just a spectator most of the time now. I give them some ideas, and I like to let them free think. I don't teach programming, I teach theory in basketball. So I give them the idea of what I would like to see out of them and let them create off of that. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a great experience for me.
And Chris, you're also a three-feel athlete. Tell me a little bit about three-feel and what your experience has been like using it.
Well, I came from my nutrition background would have came from like Canada Food Guide, right? I grew up on loading the night before, load up on pasta before your big performance, and I believed in that for a long time. It wasn't until actually I was introduced into CrossFit that I started getting some other input on maybe there's other ways to do this, you know. And then I got introduced to Brian McKenzie, And from there, like, and the CrossFit Endurance, and I've never been an endurance athlete. And meeting him and understanding what his theory was for through CrossFit Endurance, I was like, well, I got to give this a shot. I actually did a triathlon and a marathon, and it was torture. I don't know if I would. I could ever find myself to get into that headspace. I'm more of a fast paced sprint athlete, but through that, that's where I discovered through fuel. I had figured out started to eat paleo, paleo more real food. I started off by just trying to take anything processed out of my diet, right? And starting to think of kind of hunter gatherer, that kind of style of fueling. And then through that, I was introduced to 3Fuel, and through 3Fuel, you know, I found it was, I'm not big on supplements, and I had a hard time even making the transition to go to 3Fuel at first, because I was like, well, what's in it, right? Like, what? How do I know? And talking directly with Brian and with Aaron, and they're telling me about the procedure of how it's, how it's made and what's in it and what they do. And so I started trying it and started fueling with it and just realized, you know, there was always these times where I didn't pack enough to eat, or I didn't feel like I could get something in my stomach right after a workout or maybe even before. Like, if I coach classes at 6 and 7 a.m. and it's like at that time of the morning, I don't know, sometimes I just can't get anything in my stomach, you know what I mean? I just don't have it in me. And so I started trying 3Fuel and started putting it in, and the results have been fantastic. I feel good, and I don't feel like I've missed like something, you know, sometimes you're sluggish. I don't feel sluggish very often anymore. And I use it as an aid. I still eat. I have an issue. I really like to eat. So I eat a lot anyways, but I use it as an aid for me to fuel during performance and actually after. I sometimes use it as pre-performance, but most of the time I've usually got a belly full of food and I'm ready to go at that point in time. But it's incredible. I have a hard time putting my name behind something that I wouldn't ever put it behind something I don't believe in. As a supplement, it was for me to make the admittance that I was like, yeah, this is actually working for me, and this is actually doing something, and something that I believe in positive, that it was great. And Brian and Aaron and Brian Diaz, they've all been fantastic with me, and it's such a great group of athletes to have in that 3F army that I could not say no when they extended the invitation. I was like, yeah, I believe it's exactly what you guys are doing, and I want to support it.
Yeah, that's great, Chris. Can you tell our listeners any way, is there any specific way that you like to use it? I know some people like to blend things in with it, or do you just use it, with water and 3Fuel?
I just started getting a bit creative with it. I basically been just water, 3Fuel, and then I saw Brian had actually. You sent me a link before this interview, and he had talked about the pudding, so I haven't tried that yet, Brian, about making the pudding, but that's high on my list. It will happen within the next day or two. I like it in the coffee, for sure. I need a coffee in the morning. I have to have coffee in the morning. I was doing a lot of bulletproof, just butter and coffee, or coconut oil and coffee, and this is, I like to put the vanilla in, throw it in the blender, even with depending on what my fat intake's like at that point in time, even maybe with a little bit of coconut oil or butter in there, and blend it up, and you're good to go. I haven't tried the pudding yet, and I see a couple things. I see people putting it in smoothies and stuff. I haven't done that. I usually just have it in my water bottle, but I'm getting ready to venture out and see what else is out there. I definitely would like to try and blend it up with a bit of kale and stuff and see where that goes.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
Well, Chris, it's been great talking to you, and it's been very inspiring to me to hear your story about, you know, what you've overcome. Where do you recommend people go to find out more about you?
So I have a Facebook page. It's Chris Stouty Stoutenberg, and it's my athlete page. And then I have an Instagram account. It's at Stouty08, so that's STOUTY08. I'm also on Twitter at Stouty_13, which was my basketball number. My partner and I, Tyson, are just – I can give you the website, but it won't come up right now because we're just it's under construction. We're just starting. We're doing something called Wheel Wad, where we're taking all the stuff that we've learned about teaching people who use wheelchairs about fitness and starting to put it out online. So there's a database where people can go and other coaches can go and pull from. And then from there, we're actually going to teach a couple seminars out of it to teach coaches so they can open up their boxes to people, adaptive athletes that could come into their business and feel confident that they would know what to do with them. So that's the website is www.wheelwad.com. But you're going to have to wait another week before, if you go check it out right now, it'll say under construction.
Great, Chris. Well, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Aaron.
You've been listening to 3Fuel Podcast. For more information, go to 3Fuel.com or follow us on Instagram and Twitter with the handle 3Fuel or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/3Fuel. Thanks for listening.